Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good, thanks.
Good to be back here with you.
Yep, always good to be here on Sunday night.
Yes. Man, the weeks just fly by.
Studying the Word and doing the show, and yes, yeah. And it's like unbelievable that a whole week's gone by. It seems like we were just here.
I know.
And I hope you've had an awesome 4th of July.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Where were we?
Oh, yeah. We've been doing a show on the new evangelization. This might be the last one, I think.
You think?
Hey, I'm starting to sense this is the last one. But
anyway.
And we ended the last show with kind of an unorthodox approach to talking about salvation, which was the story of the golden calf in the book of Exodus. And maybe, Steve, why don't you read that? You want to read that passage
again?
You
got to count again? Sure.
Yeah, why don't you just read that?
This is from Exodus chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioned it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol, cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation."
Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. We'll start over again with Moses. Yeah, and we started talking about that in the context of new evangelization. Now, Here are the people, the chosen people, the covenant people, the Israelites, at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses, who they saw deliver them on nothing that they did to contribute to this.
Right.
they did the Passover and they left.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave them so much provision that not only were they delivered from Egypt, as God calls it, that place of slavery, mm-hmm. by his right arm, nothing mm-hmm. that they did, they were delivered by him. And every day they got manna.
Right.
And when they needed water, they got water. So their provisions were being met.
And isn't it true that their clothing? Or
yes. Their shoes and their clothes did not wear out.
Did not wear out.
And they got to Mount Sinai where the covenant is given to them. You hear Steve and I talk a lot about covenants. So this was the Mosaic covenant, the covenant of the law, which was also sealed in blood, but animal blood. So Moses on the mountain, and the mountain isn't just like a cute little hill somewhere where Moses is sitting on top of. It's totally surrounded by the Shekinah glory cloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally shrouded, and there's lightning, and there's
thunder,
shofar blasts, and there's thunder, and it's like quite a sight.
Mm-hmm.
So if we looked at that as if, you know that that's the truth, capital T. Then the people at the bottom say, they've got the attention span that's even shorter than mine. and thinking, I like to think that if I was there and I saw this mountain shrouded with the very presence of God, that would probably hold my attention for quite a while.
Right.
But they kind of say, Moses, well, you haven't seen him for a while. He's not coming back. We don't know what happened to that guy. This fellow Moses, it's like, who's he? just a short few days ago, they were saying, wow, Moses, he led us out of Egypt. Yeah. Now they're like, Moses who?
Yeah.
I don't know where he went. He disappeared on that mountain.
Yeah.
So there's got to be another plan. Moses might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This may not be the only plan. Maybe we're not getting this right.
And nobody,
maybe all this promised land thing, I don't know. Maybe God who delivered us out of Egypt, maybe he can't manage now to get us to the promised land, because after all, Moses has disappeared.
And the people are waiting.
Yeah.
And, the key word, I think, here in our culture today is, and even back then, is wait.
Yeah.
They had to wait. And they waited.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't see anything else happening.
Yeah. Exactly.
Was the lightning still going on? Was the cloud, the Shekinah glory still there? Yes. And they rebel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, and the interesting thing is scripture does not tell us that anybody went to seek if Moses was still on the mountain.
No.
They probably didn't want to, because it
might be a little scary.
It might be a little scary. But they, all this is going on and they, and they're quick to turn and go, well,
we got to find another way.
Got to find another way. God's truth is being given to Moses. The law is given to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to keep them in a right relationship with God.
Yes.
And one of those laws is going to be, you shall not make any graven images
mm-hmm.
as a god for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as Moses is up there and God's giving him the commandments, they're turning their back.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like you said, even though all their needs were supplied for, manna in the desert, water was given to them. Mm-hmm. We know they got tired of the manna.
And they have this amazing display of God's presence right above them.
Right above them, yeah. And they go into this mode of rebellion.
Yes.
And I said last week, it's really a sad passage of salvation history, because it's not just sad because for the Israelites who did this,
mm-hmm.
but it's sad because we too,
mm-hmm.
Humans have done this throughout,
yes.
throughout history.
Yes.
We're quick to turn. We're quick,
yes.
I want to say, especially in our culture, if we don't get an answer, we have our iPhones and our smartphones and our iPads and stuff like that. And, we can ask Siri or Google anything and get an answer. It gives us an answer. Mm-hmm. We don't always know if it's right or not, but we get an answer. But when we're praying and we're in our relationship with God, God's not always quick to give us that answer just like that. Because sometimes through the waiting, we turn to God even more. And as we press in and seek God's heart, he can show us something.
Mm.
He can answer our prayer, our request in an even better way,
yeah.
in an even greater way
mm-hmm.
that shows us even more about him, who
mm-hmm.
he is,
mm-hmm.
And maybe shows us something about ourselves that's an area that we need to surrender to him, And in that time of waiting, there's a potential a lot of times for God's grace just to be poured out upon us, that we're seeking him and that we're praising his name and we want to be in his presence. God loves when we praise him, when we lift up his name and praise him. And as we see in the account from Exodus, they start worshiping this golden calf.
Yeah. They make And the parallel we, you know, that really kind of hit me last week when we were talking about this is if you look at this in terms of salvation history, they had what was the true path, which was God was about to give them the covenant.
Right.
They doubted. They lost faith. They lost interest. They thought Moses was dead. They said, there has to be another way. We live in a culture that says, well, there has to be another way. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you know, some of you people believe Jesus is the only way and the blood and the sacrifice and all that, but that's impossible. Mm-hmm. That can't be the only way. Let's make another way. So they made another way. They made an idol.
Their own way.
Right. And even using God's provision, which was the Egyptians, gave the people stuff when they were leaving. So mm-hmm. it's like, okay, here's stuff. Just go. And some of the stuff they gave them was gold and silver and jewelry and precious things, valuable things. And these things which they got that they didn't get it themselves, mm-hmm. God said, they're going to be so glad to have you guys go that they're going to give you stuff. So they left with all kinds of stuff because mm-hmm. they didn't have anything before that.
Right.
So they took this very stuff, this very material, and they melt the gold down to make this idol.
Yeah.
So we take a lot of things that we know, and I'm not saying we, because if you're a committed believer who studies the word and you're following and you've had metanoia, you're not going to do this, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But if you're kind of a lukewarm believer or maybe not really much of a believer at all, and you say, well, you know, all this stuff about cross and blood, you know, I kind of, yeah, you know, I see why they think that way, but that can't be the only way. But, you know, let's make another way. And Jesus was really a very nice guy. He was always sweet and meek and humble, and he always loved everybody, and he always cured everybody. And so, therefore, there has to be a path of tolerance. There has to be a path of diversity. There has to be a path of another way. I mean, let's not talk about this cross and blood and judgment stuff. Let's talk about this nice path where we're going to tolerate. We're going to be nice. We're going to help everybody. And that's going to be the path to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And let those, you know, sort of kookier guys talk about crosses and blood and stuff. We're going to talk about this nice way. So what happens as a result of that? You know, the Presbyterian Church declares they're going to start doing same-sex weddings because after all, you know, we don't want to be, we don't want to be exclusive and homophobic and condemning.
Right.
And, you know, the scripture doesn't quite say it's okay to do this, but we know that by being tolerant, we know God would want us to do this because he's tolerant and he's nice and he's merciful and right. He loves everybody.
They probably haven't read the book of Genesis.
No, probably not. Yeah. Or what Paul wrote in Romans. And,
right.
But, and, you know, on the other hand, at that same session, which was just a couple of weeks ago now, they've started a boycott of Israel. Any company that deals with Israel, anything that's made in Israel, any economic thing to do with Israel, they're going to boycott The Israelis are mistreating the Palestinian Arabs. And the Israelis should not mistreat the Palestinians.
Right.
Now, let's be clear about that.
Right.
You know, God would not want the Israelis to persecute and make the Palestinians' lives horrible.
Right.
But when you say you're going to boycott Israel, if you read the scriptures, you're walking on dangerous ground.
I will bless those who bless
yes.
you, and I will curse those who curse you.
Yes, and yep. Psalm 122:6, you pray for the peace of Jerusalem every mm-hmm. day, and you may you prosper that do that. So, yeah. You know, that's a step. Well, we know that the word says this, but we have this other way now, mm-hmm. because after all, this word was written a long time ago.
Yeah,
and when you hear that. I, in my ears, when I heard that news thing, all I could hear was Satan talking to Eve. Now, come on. Did God really say that?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Right.
It's, you know, did he really mean that?
Right.
Or maybe, you know, thousands of years ago, he might have meant that.
Yeah.
But come on. This is 2014.
Yeah.
There's same-sex couples that want to get married, quote, married, unquote. You know, this holy covenant between a man and a woman that is marriage. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, that's been going on since Adam and Eve, but now we're going to have a different kind of marriage. We're going to have a different path. We made a different way. Yeah. You know, that's okay if you want to do that, but now we're also going to do this. And when I heard that, all I could think of was Satan talking to Eve. Oh, come on. Come on. You think God's just a cosmic killjoy. He doesn't want those guys to be happy.
Yeah. You know, a marriage is to bear fruit. And
yes.
The fruit of a marriage is to bring forth new life,
mm-hmm.
a son or a daughter. And, you know, you need a man and a woman to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because any other way, you don't have the right parts.
Yes. You're not going to produce children no matter what you do.
You cannot do it. So, you know, in our society, marriage is trying to be redefined.
Yes. It's a counterfeit.
It's a counterfeit. We have the truth of God, and now someone's trying to give us a counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the same. And what does Satan do all the time? Eve.
Are you serious, Eve?
Eve, come on. Did God really say that?
And you can insert your own name into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve. Phil.
Come on. You don't really believe
come
that.
Come on. Come on. Did God really say that? Come on. Come on. Okay. That's nice. Now let's
be serious.
Let's be serious here. What I'm offering you is just about the same, but it doesn't have all this, you know, it doesn't have all this other stuff to it that's going to weigh you down.
Wow.
You're going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Satan does. He baits us into giving us a counterfeit gift.
Mm-hmm.
God's gift is the real gift. God's gift bears eternal life. Satan's gift destroys. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
He's the murderer from the beginning.
A liar from the, you know, from the beginning. A murderer from the beginning. It's the same thing. You're not going to get any different result with getting a counterfeit gift from the devil.
That's
the result
right.
is always going to be the same.
And he always uses the same approach, just like he used with Eve.
Yeah.
Because it works.
Because it works. Hey, wait a minute. Eve, come here. Let's talk about this. Come on.
Yeah.
And so, what happens in Exodus after this is, let's see, where's it at here? Moses seeks the favor of the Lord and says, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt, with great power and a mighty hand?
Mm-hmm.
Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountain and to wipe them off the face of the earth. Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people.
Mm-hmm.
Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land. I promised them, and I will be their inheritance, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened.
Yes. And later he's going to say, for the sake of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm doing
right.
this. Because he made promises to them, so he didn't want to wipe these people out.
Right.
But, ooh, this is good.
Mm. Ooh,
remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
Praise Adonai, the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him? Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That is an awesome
That's
song.
Very awesome.
Paul Wilbur?
Paul Wilbur.
WilburMinistries.com?
That's right. You ever been on that site?
I have. I've ordered one of everything.
Did you ever eat pizza with Paul Wilbur? Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
He's going to be on the radio show pretty soon, isn't he?
I think so.
I think in a couple of weeks.
I think so.
Yay. Anyway, and then
we'll
he's going
to
be
in
person in this area.
When?
October 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Get out.
We'll give you all the details as the time gets closer. But if you've never been to a Messianic concert, if you've never heard Messianic praise, if you've never seen people with banners and dancers, and you really got to come to one of the appearances.
Yes.
Steve and I are running around here with our banners, but it's kind of a small room and we're not like a lot of room in here, but
yeah, we're a little restricted.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So the approach of Satan, you know, and he approached the people at the base of Mount Sinai because he knew what was going on up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, I better start influencing these people now before Moses comes back. And, you know, he says, probably said to Aaron, hey, Aaron, you're the high priest, remember? Like you're the holy guy. So you better get something rolling here because Moses isn't coming back,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have to maybe be the leader now. And these people, you may have an uprising on your hands
mm-hmm.
if you don't start doing something. So you better get up off your butt and start doing something, Mr. High Priest.
Yeah.
So Aaron says, hey, you know what? I better start doing something because I don't want all these people to be mad. And then they're going to be mad at me because I'm the high priest. So, you know, Satan influences everyone in a way that is kind of tailored to them, but the approach is the same. And unfortunately, we see this happening in church leadership. We see this happening in your personal life. You see it happen in people's marriages and people's home lives and people's work lives. I mean, the approach is always there and it's always basically the same. And he always presents a kernel of truth. And there's always like something believable in it. Satan is not going to lead you by saying, I'm Satan and what I really want is for you to be horrible and join me in hell. That approach wouldn't win anybody over. But what he does is a nice approach that has a kernel of truth to it. Oh, come on now. You really think now, how could a smart guy like you really think that? Doesn't this other make more sense? Well, it makes it. Doesn't it make a lot more sense? I mean, this business that you read about in the scripture or you heard about at church or you were taught when you were a kid. Now, does that make any sense now? Come on, honestly. And because of how we are, because of our nature, we're easily subject to that. Even Eve, who was probably way smarter than we are, fell for the thing. I mean, Adam and Eve were perfect humans at that point.
Right.
They probably were more intelligent than we are. Their mind wasn't cluttered with all kinds of defective
lies
stuff.
Lies and deceit, yeah.
Yeah. And even she and even Adam, you know, we can't just blame the whole thing on Eve, although that would be nice. But
cards and letters to Phil.
But he takes us away. You know, Satan takes us away from hard, serious truth with a capital T and takes you to truth in a little different way. It might be truth with a small T. It might even be part of the capital T. But then he says, you know, God is so loving and so merciful. If you do this, you know what? He's not going to really care. Or if he does care now, he's going to get over it.
Yeah.
So come on. What's it going to hurt if you just do this today?
What's the big deal?
This, come on. This, you've done worse than that. Just, you know, tomorrow will be another day. And this is the thing that he presents to us. And it's very difficult. And you can all probably think of many situations where you've heard of people who have been in ministry all their lives that have fallen and maybe not just small imperfection here and there. I mean, talking about big moral falls.
Yeah, major.
Yeah. So that non-believers, non-church people go, huh, see, why should I go to church? You know, look what they're doing.
Look at that hypocrite.
Look at that. That guy's preaching about this and look what he did.
Look what they did.
Yeah.
And the thing, you know, what we as believers need to, I think, recall quite often is the fact that we too still have a sin nature.
Yeah.
Even though we've accepted Jesus as the Messiah and I follow him, there's times where I fall. There's times where I sin. And it's not that that person's sin who isn't following Jesus is greater than my sin. It's the fact that they don't believe that their sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus and in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the message.
And therefore they're not forgiven.
And therefore they are not forgiven. But that's the message that we need to reach to them.
Yes.
That their sins, that just like my sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus by his blood, so too are theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the simple message of the gospel.
We have the fundamental answer.
Right. And, you know, this whole account of the Israelites at the base of Mount Sinai, when Moses is receiving the law from God, is, I think, so critical for us to understand because it shows us just how weak we can be and how short our attention span can be as human beings. You know, when Moses goes back down the mountain, you know, Moses, you know, he asked God, Lord, basically have mercy on your people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wipe them out.
Yes.
And Moses turns and goes down the mountain with the two tablets, you know, and the covenant of the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. that were inscribed on both sides, front and back. And the tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God.
Right. He wrote that himself.
He wrote it himself. God used a duplexer.
Two-sided copy.
Two-sided copy, exactly. Well before the printing press. So it was, you know, it's not a new idea. See, we get all this, we think it's a new idea, but really, if we go back into scripture, we find that God did it first. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." And Moses replied, "It is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that I hear." And when Moses approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them into pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it into powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it.
Nice touch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And he says, "Aaron, what did these people do to you that you led them in such great sin? That you led them into such great sin?" Wow.
Yeah. Then comes Aaron's weak excuse. "Well, we threw all this gold in the fire and his calf came out."
And he said, "Yeah, right. Do not be angry, my lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us gods who will go before us.' As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So I told them, 'Whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off.' Then they gave me the gold and I threw it into the fire and out came this calf."
This is the high priest.
this is the high priest. And so Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." All the Israelites rallied to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we see, you know, the humanness of Aaron. Just, you know, we talked about John, you know, Jesus says, "Why did you come in the wilderness? To see a reed swayed by the wind?"
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens when a reed is swayed by the wind.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happens when the reed just goes all the way over. Aaron did not implore the people, "Wait upon the Lord."
Mm-hmm. You know, that's right.
When, you know, and when there's the pressure of a multitude of people saying, "We don't know what's happened to this guy. You need to do something about it." What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have 2,000 years of salvation history. We have scripture.
Yes.
What did Aaron have? He didn't even have the law yet.
No.
Because it was just being given.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We have a lot more than Aaron had.
Yes.
We have the fulfillment of the old covenant in the new covenant ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We have all the truth and all the power of God at our disposal.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And do we stand firm in it? Or do we go, "Well, you know, I would have said something, but you know, they were kind of, you know, there were some people that were asking me about, you know, well, what about this?" And, you know, I asked them to take off their gold jewelry and told them in the fire and boom, look at that. What do you know?
Yeah. Just like when he confronts Adam and Adam says, "That woman you put here, she made me do it.
Why'd you do this thing?" "Well, it's her." And, you know, as we're talking about evangelization, the reality is that as human beings, we have to be constantly drawn back to God. You know, we need to be fed. We need to be nourished. We need to be strengthened,
mm-hmm.
because it's a long,
yes.
it's a long road. It's a long
yes.
walk. It's a long journey. It's a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not a sprint.
It's not a sprint. It would be, you know, it'd be nice if it was. You sprint and then you have to finish line.
Yeah.
Oh, boom. I mean, but it's not. And not, you know, none of us knows when the Lord is coming back. It would be nice if
hope it's today.
Yeah, hope it's today before 8:30. People are probably going, what? But do we exchange what we have in Jesus Christ for a counterfeit?
Mm-hmm.
We have the truth of the gospel. We have the truth of Jesus' own words. You know, and do we exchange that truth for a lie?
Yes.
We have the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly and have it to the full.
Mm-hmm.
Being in union with God in the presence of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what could be better than that?
Yes.
And Satan comes along and says, I got something else to show you.
Yeah. I think you're going to like this better.
I think you like this better. You know, and we always, I think we always have to be on guard for that.
Yes.
Do we exchange the truth of the gospel,
mm-hmm.
the life-giving word of God, for that which will kill, steal, and destroy?
Yeah.
That which will be eaten away and rotted, yes. you know, by moths.
That's an excellent point.
You know, and no matter where you're at in your walk with the Lord, no matter if you're a new believer, you've been walking with the Lord for 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years, 50 years, it's a question I think that can keep us honest
mm-hmm.
in our relationship with God is, have I ever exchanged the truth of the gospel for a lie?
Yeah.
You know, have I made room in my life for sin? Have I made room that for compromise where I'm giving a foothold or a toehold to the evil one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I making room for the devil in my life?
Yeah.
God forbid if I do, because I want the glory of God. I want to be transformed into the image and likeness of Christ. I want to put on the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to act in accord with as a child
yes.
of God mm-hmm. and not as a rebellious, you know, as
Aaron.
As a rebellious Aaron. Or as yeah. a rebellious person that's, you know, gonna say, hey, you know, I want a calf, make me a God.
Yes. Aaron said, I never seen this God. We can make our own God.
Mm-hmm.
Satan says, you know, you can't rely on that. Look at, he led Moses out here now. Where's Moses?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you're getting manna, but like, what's he doing right now for you?
Yeah.
He took your leader away. He ain't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you better do something, Aaron.
Right.
And we feel that. And like you say, you know, you don't have to be, you know, in some horrible situation to have Satan say to you, oh, look at you, man.
Right.
You're following God and look at you. He let you down. You're a mess now again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are you following him? You know,
right.
Even when you're doing, like you say, all you got to do is make a little bit of room for him. And he
right.
comes in and says, oh, wait, think about this. Have you considered this? You know, well, you know, you're doing this, but come on, you know, is that so bad?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a kernel of truth in it. He always presents this kernel of truth.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's a few people that go to hell, but now come on. Would God, who loves everybody so much, send a lot of people to hell?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, let me tell you. Maybe Hitler's there. There's a few mass murderers that are there. There's, you know, some horrible person who did whatever. There's, you know, maybe 20 or 50 people there. But come on, he's not going to send anybody else there. Look at you. You're a good guy. You go to work. You take care of your kids. And these are things that are true in the sense that you might be a good guy, you might take care of your kids, you might do a good job at your work, and you might be an honest person. And so these things start to make sense to you. And after a while you say, well, yeah, you know, he can't be sending people like me to hell. I just that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, only the worst people are going to be lost.
Right.
Not like ordinary people like us.
Right.
We even go to church most of the time. Yeah. I mean, I've never stolen anything. I've never, you know, hurt anybody, I don't think. I've never killed anybody, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And the problem we have, not the problem we have, but the problem is You have to show people that apart from Christ, they don't have any hope.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's going to pull on your own humanity. He's going to say, come on, you can do this. Don't worry about all that stuff.
Yeah.
And this is why I like what Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, always says. You should study the words so that you know the truth so well that when you hear something counterfeit, you recognize it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to debate it in your mind. Ooh, it's a break again. I love this song. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Yeah, that song really kind of encapsulates all the history of salvation.
Yeah. Entering into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And, you know, that's the biggest truth that we have.
Yes.
is that we enter into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence, not by our own merits, mm-hmm. but by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ stands before God and intercedes for us.
Yes.
And as our advocate.
Yes.
And says, not guilty.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the good news.
Am I covered in the blood of the Lamb? Have I received the gift of salvation that I am covered in the blood of the Lamb? That I receive the mercy of God?
Yeah.
Because if I don't receive the mercy of God, I'm going to receive the judgment of God.
Yeah, excellent point. That sums up our whole series.
I mean, really. So do we exchange the mercy of God for the judgment of God?
Yeah.
I'd rather have God's mercy.
Amen. And you know, when you study the Torah, you know immediately that no one could go into the Holy of Holies.
Right.
The high priest goes once a year. And
exactly.
Why is that? Because that's holiness. The people are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
They can't approach. There's obstacles in the way. There's a big veil in the way.
Right.
There's an obstacle. But now we enter the Holy of Holies. We enter through the blood of the Lamb.
Right.
Because now the veil's torn. The curtain's been torn. Mm-hmm. The blood's been shed. The sacrifice is once for all.
Right.
And now the good news of the new covenant is that we can enter the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
We can approach the throne boldly, as it mm-hmm. says in Hebrews, which I think might be my favorite book. Well, at least second favorite book. But we can enter, whereas before we couldn't look behind the veil.
And we can cry out and call him Daddy.
Yes.
Abba.
Yes. And this is the good news. And this is what has to be preached to people, mm-hmm. because people don't realize they can't approach God as they are.
Right.
They can't go through the veil. They can't mm-hmm. approach through their own way. They
right.
can't go and say, oh, let me just go see what's behind that veil. I'm going to go tell God something.
Right.
Because this is the plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The plan of salvation is to enter through the blood
mm,
of
exactly.
the Lamb. And the curtain is torn. And this is why the new evangelization is urgent.
Yeah.
And it has to be preached to the lukewarm people, to the de-Christianized people.
Mm-hmm.
And like I always say to people, just because somebody's sitting next to you in the pew doesn't mean he knows the gospel.
Right.
He may just be sitting there saying, what in the world am I doing here? Mm-hmm. What is this all about?
Yeah.
And you have to reach everybody. And one of the things Satan has done, like we just talked about, is, you know, this is the gospel message. This is the word. But, you know, some of this doesn't really make sense anymore, does it?
It's old fashioned.
Yeah. You know, part of this is okay. And
yeah.
part of it is not, you know, is all right. But this is not so great. So why don't we just take this out? And yeah, the rest of it's okay then. This will all kind of hang together okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we take out parts of the truth to make it more consistent with what the thinking and the ideas are of today's thinking.
The ideas
which
of man.
You can't do.
Right.
But this is what we're doing in building the city of man.
Yeah. And in turn, what we do is we've taken the truth of God and exchanged it for a lie. We've taken the gift of life and exchanged it for death. And we, you know, I mean, it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we exchange the truth of God for a counterfeit, for
yes.
a lie?
Yes.
You know, and if we've encountered Jesus Christ, like the disciples or the first disciples at that 4 o'clock in the afternoon moment in the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Do we run out and do we tell people, come, I've met the Messiah.
Yeah.
Let me show you. Let me tell you about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the essence of evangelization, is sharing with people that you know the Messiah. He transformed my life, and I want to tell you everything about him.
Yes, exactly.
I want to tell you about the gift of life that he offers,
mm-hmm.
how he's ransomed me
mm-hmm.
from sin and death and has made me a new creation.
Yeah.
And to be made into a new creation, I have to cooperate with God. I have to cooperate with the prompting of the Holy Spirit that's going to show me, Steve, you can't do that anymore. That's your old way. That's the old wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the new wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
Can't. No, you don't want to go there anymore. Old wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to listen to that. I can't just be comfortable and go, I've done that since I was a child. Was I following the Lord? Mm-hmm. Was I really walking in the ways of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're an adopted son or daughter of God. We have to act like it.
Yes.
And we have to proclaim that love of God in love to those who are still seeking.
Yes, in gentleness and respect.
Yeah.
We don't hit them over the head with our Bible.
Yeah.
But, and it's, you know, I want to emphasize as we're going to close this session out, maybe we probably only have a minute or two left, is the new evangelization is now an urgent thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everywhere you go where you hear words of prophecy, where the words are all starting to be, there's not a lot of time. The time is coming. You have to prepare for the time.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a lot of time.
Right.
You know, we may not have 50 years to tell everybody the gospel.
Right.
We might have 50 days to tell everybody the gospel.
Yeah, we don't.
We might have 50 minutes to tell everybody. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an urgency now because the culture has been shrouded in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a remnant left.
Yeah.
And you have to stay grounded, and hopefully most of you listening are grounded, or else you probably wouldn't be listening. But if you're coming across this show and you don't have a clue what we're talking about, you have to ground yourself in God's word, and you have to understand his revelations, his nature, and where you stand before him. Because you're not a pretty picture as you are now.
Yeah.
Not a pretty picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And when anybody comes before the holiness of God, everybody says the same thing. You know, I just saw myself for who I was, and I just, you know, knew that I couldn't turn away from God's glory and holiness, you know, for that light. Wow.
Wow.
That was
awesome. Woo. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and I hope you've enjoyed the series on new evangelization.
And we just pray that the gift of God that he has given would be strengthened in your life, the gift of salvation and the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.